turn with me to Matthew 21 right now, and I'm going to record this on one of the phones, so at least I can upload the MP3 later. But Matthew 21, verses 14 through 17. Matthew 21, verses 14 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. And the blind and lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany. Well, it looks like we're still on, I think. I want to ask you this question as we consider this text with Jesus this evening, praising the children for praising him. When you enter church, do you enter with an attitude? Are you ones that parents with little children would try and sit far away from? Does a heavy countenance fall like a cloud over where you are sitting? Are you so serious in worship that children and babes in Christ that are near you feel that they best keep their mouths shut? Well, we see in the text tonight that the chief priests and scribes are God's enemies because they do not join the children in excited messianic praise for Christ's miraculous healings. Keep this before your mind as we consider the text tonight. Worship Jesus with a childlike faith. And worship with your children. Worship Jesus with a childlike faith. And worship with your children. Now, I preached this probably about 10 years ago here at the church, and it was a text that I preached for seminary class. I did consider the context with it, and I thought rather than just skip it or preach it in a different way, I'd like to pretty much give you that same sermon, as I think it's worth repeating. Worship Jesus with a childlike faith. And worship with your children. First, we want to see this. While the self-righteous priests and scribes should have known who Jesus is, rather, they indignantly question him for receiving messianic praise. Matthew 21, verse 14. We see something amazing that they're missing. Plural healings. It might not be as obvious in the English, but it is many blind. The word for blind is plural. The word for lame is plural. So what Jesus is doing here in the temple is healing a lot of people. Now, what's interesting is he just kicked a lot of people out of the temple in the text we saw last week, and yet here he's welcoming in a lot of people now because it's the right people coming in. What is the proper response? Jesus is healing many people who are blind. He's giving them sight. He's healing those who are lame. He's making them able to move and walk properly. What is the proper response? If you were there, how should you respond? Wow! Wow! Right? Amazing! But that is not the response we get by the religious leaders. We see the wrong response by the proud religious leaders. Look at verse 15 and 16 of the text. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And of course, that's an accusation. Now remember earlier, they had just seen Jesus ride on a donkey into Jerusalem. A huge stir, a multitude of people going berserk over Jesus. And yes, they just saw Jesus cleanse the temple with the authority of a king, and they don't like that. So by the time they get to the children praising him, they're just angry. They're just angry. They don't like that children are praising him as the Messiah. Now, this is similar to when a particular blind man healed by Jesus in the Gospel of John was also incredulously questioned by Pharisees for his childlike faith. His innocent, earnest reply was this: John chapter 9, verses 30 to 34. Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that has born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. So this blind man is saying, you don't know where Jesus is from? Look what he did. He healed me. I was blind from birth, and he healed me. Nobody could do this except he were from God. And the Pharisees and scribes, instead of rejoice and praise Jesus for healing this man and having compassion on him, they judge him and they cast him out, and they are effectively casting Christ out because they don't want to respond the same way with him. Beloved, Jesus proved who he is by his miracles, and you believe. But there will always be brilliant, educated, religious men who will hate him. They will look straight at Jesus and his miracles and despise him. And they will scoff at you who worship him. And this is because they are not God's children. Rather, they are God's enemies. And unlike you who are God's children, the unbelieving chief priests and scribes prove by their pride and indignation toward Jesus that they are indeed God's enemies. And Jesus shrewdly uses Psalm 8, verse 2 to expose them as God's enemies and silence them. Look at verse 16 again. And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Now here he's quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. And if things go smoothly, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to worship him with Psalm 8, 2 in the end here. He quotes Psalm 8, 2 to affirm the children. But he does more than that. He doesn't quote all of verse 2. He only quotes part of it. He omits the last part. Listen to the last part of verse 2 here. Because of thine enemies. Because of thine enemies. What's the implication? Well, if the shoe fits. Now, notice I didn't complete the clause. But what do we know the rest of that comment is? If the shoe fits, wear it. Right? So Jesus is essentially doing that, quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants thou hast ordained strength. Because, this is the part he leaves out. You can imagine looking at him. And they would know the verse, because of thine enemies. And so he's showing, these children are singing and praising me, and they are showing that you're my enemies because you're rejecting it. Now the psalm goes on to say this in verse 2. That thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. That thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And that's what happens. Jesus leaves them speechless. In verse 17, he left them and went out of the city. They didn't have any response to this. Jesus says, look, Psalm 8 verse 2 is being applied to you right now. They're singing, haven't you heard? You know Psalm 8 verse 2. And the mouth of babes praising is what silences you, the enemies, who don't want me to be praised. John 8, verse 44, John 8, verses 44 to 47. After the scribes and Pharisees hurled accusative questions at Jesus in the temple, he exposes them in a similar way. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you believe me not? Why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And that what Jesus is exposing these religious leaders of actually not being of God. He's done that many times in the Gospel of Matthew, we see. So they don't like him for it. They eventually kill him for these things. He's showing them, you're not actually servants of God. You're enemies of God because you're rejecting me. Most recently seen in the fact that you're rejecting their praise of me, the children's praise of me, making it look like they're stupid children that don't know what they're doing, but they do. Verse 16, the second part, the children did hear Christ's words, and they saw his miracles as of God, and they're worshiping him as the Messiah. Beloved, know who you are dealing with. God's enemies will not praise him. Those who are enemies of God, they will refuse to praise him. But the praise of babes in the congregation silences evil men. For in it, they see God's strength, particularly with the presence of suckling infants, too young yet even to use words. And yet Psalm 8 verse 2 says, suckling infants, think about that, little babies, they don't even have words yet. And yet their noises and their presence are praising God. Know who you are, God's children. And be encouraged that while Jesus rejects the pride of his educated enemies, he welcomes the loud hosannas of humble children. Look at verses 15 and 16 again. The children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore to please. And he said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Again, he's quoting Psalm 8, verse 2, but there's an adjustment here. In Psalm 8, verse 2, originally it says, you have ordained strength. Here, Jesus says, perfected praise. Now, essentially the same idea, but Jesus is developing this. The word perfected in the Greek means mended, restored, set right. Make complete. Notice he's saying, by children. Children are making right, perfecting, ordaining what you have ruined and taken away from. The imperfect response to Jesus and his miracles by religious rulers is made pure by unassuming little ones. What the chief priests and scribes disdain, Jesus affirms. Well, think back about just a little while ago in Matthew's gospel. This shouldn't surprise us. In Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them. He receives the children and he says, bring them to me. Don't keep them away. Just a little earlier in Matthew 18, Jesus says, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, come here, child. He brings a little child in the midst. You want to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be like this little child. And he says, and any of you who will cause this little child to be offended or sin, it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea. Jesus cares about children. And their praise perfects what praise is supposed to be. It's an interesting contrast to a number of times when I visited Reformed churches, no less. And the first thing that can be said to us is, would you like us to take your children for you to the nursery? I mean, we're sitting in the pews. No, I want my children with me, worshiping the Lord with all of God's people. Learning how to worship by watching God's people. A friend and fellow seminarian, now a professor at our seminary, he mentioned one time one of his sections of his sermon was to address the children directly. And he looked out to address the children and he realized they weren't there. Like a lot of churches, all the children were moved to a different place. They weren't even in the worship service. He couldn't even address them, speak to them. Beloved, does your church remove children from worship when Jesus receives them gladly? Let me encourage you to think about this. When you hear a baby cry in the sanctuary, smile and say to yourself, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. When I preached this sermon in chapel at seminary originally, a fellow student came up to me who ministered, at least he would provide pulpit supply, if not the regular minister, for an elderly church. And he said that it's all elderly in the church. And he says, every time a baby might visit and they hear a baby cry, they cry. Because it's such an unusual thing. And so when they hear a baby cry, they cry. They're so thankful. And that's the response we should be having to the children who want to worship Jesus too. Well, I was blessed to have a text from our brother Jose in Los Angeles last week. And he was thankful for the webcast worship service. And he mentioned to me that he had invited another man who has visited us in the past with him from L.A., and that man said it was a good service, and he says, I sent the link to another friend, and that friend said this, the crying baby added to the official church experience. Well, I was encouraged to hear that. Our young one, our one-year-old, we're working hard to be training him how to sit and listen, and he'll still be crying and making noise. But that cry that was heard quite a few times last week, someone said watching online, it made it feel like I was really in church. It made it feel more authentic, like we were really in church together. Praise the Lord. Beloved, children should be taught to listen quietly, but while they learn, they need to find themselves welcome as a regular part of an ordinary church service experience. How can you help your children know that Jesus welcomes them? Train them to behave so they may stay and sing and listen to Jehovah. How can you reach out to the children in your neighborhood? What if you told them that God has ordained praise out of the mouth of babes? Jesus loves the little children, and he accepts them in the sanctuary. And Jesus receives and strengthens you who praise him like children. It was not only the children in the temple that cried out hosannas to Jesus. In verse 9, we see it was the multitudes crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the children are reflecting that. They're following the example. And these people are singing Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26, referring to the Messiah. The parents are giving the example to the children of praising Jesus as the Messiah. And of course, this is why the Pharisees and scribes are so angry. They don't want to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But not only do the children, so do their parents. Beloved, Christ calls you who are adults to believe and praise him as little children entering the kingdom of heaven. Psalm 8, verse 2, ordained strength. Jesus changes it to perfected praise. So the word strength is changed to praise, adjusted and applied as praise. Children perfect praise. They ordain strength. They perfect it into praise. Can you not relate to my experience at the dinner table? Often, you know, maybe had a tiring day, feeling anxious, wiped out, but we make an effort to have family worship. Are you not strengthened as you sing psalms of praise around your table? When you hear the psalms coming out of the mouths of your children, it strengthens you. That praise strengthens you. Children, do you know you have this power to bless your parents' hearts? When you sing praises to the Lord, when you sing psalms to the Lord, you are strengthening those around you, especially your parents and one another. The theme of Psalm 8 is a childlike wonder at God and his creation and providence. Psalm 8, verses 3 to 4. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? Verse 9 of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth! And the psalm opens that way as well, so it opens and closes with that. I mean, think about this. When you look up into the sky at night and you see the starry host, or you look at sunsets, don't you sometimes just get goosebumps? Or don't you sometimes just say, wow, praise you, Lord. praise you, Lord. I'm so excited to see what you've done. I remember when we were at sixth grade camp with Abraham this winter, he and another young boy were particularly impressed with all the scriptures and all the scientific evidence shared that showed how big the universe is and thus how big God is. And then they took us out to look at the stars at night, and they played a Christian song about the stars and the wonder of God. And they were really, really moved. And that's the way that we should be. That's a childlike faith against a lot of what is called science today, a lot of what the world says is the way to look at creation. You see, while the naturalist looks at creation and says there is no God, child of God, you look into the starry sky and you sing that the spacious heavens declare his glory. While in trials and adversity, the child of Satan curses Jehovah, you, child of God, cry, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. While the heretical religious leader is blind to Christ, you, child of God, see the Son of David. And while the enemies of God accuse Jesus of having a demon, you, children of God, cry out loud hosannas to silence them. Paul and Silas, they sang psalms while they were in chains in prison. This was their strength, and it converted the jailer. You see, childlike trust expressed in praise is powerful. Not only this, Jesus has ordained the praise of your covenant children. You need to be praising the Lord with a childlike faith, but he's also ordained the praise of your children, your young children. Psalm 8, verse 2, think about the misuse of this. So many times I've heard this psalm quoted out of context and used in a wrong way. Well, out of the mouth of babes, out of the mouth of children. And we're usually saying that when a child has said something surprising or maybe something their parents didn't want them to reveal or maybe said something that just wished they wouldn't have said in public. And we say, oh, out of the mouth of babes. And we're using this verse, but that's not what this verse is talking about. It's talking about out of the mouth of babes, God's ordained praise. My son Isaac often asks me to sing a psalm when we are driving around and doing errands. Hey, Dad, can we sing that psalm, this psalm? All my children are learning from the beginning of their lives to worship Jesus, singing him with his psalms. For now, we're even teaching Gabriel to help him try to last through family worship, and we're kind of moving his arm and helping him learn how to present, P-R-E-C-E-N-T. We call it presenting, the person who leads the rhythm to keep us together, and that helps. It's kind of funny he does it like this, you know. But we're trying to teach him from a young age that they are expected to praise the Lord, and God wants their praise. Beloved, teach your children. Sing the psalms with them in family worship. Baptize them as the biblical sign of the new covenant, now with both little boys and little girls, because Jesus receives them, even nursing infants, suckling infants, little babies sucking at their mother's breast, not even able to use words yet. God says they're praising God. God puts children in his covenant community with tongues not to hiss, but to sing. John Calvin says this, David exclaims that infants still nursing at their mother's breasts are eloquent enough to celebrate God's glory, Psalm 8, verse 2, for immediately on coming forth from the womb, they find food prepared for them by his heavenly care. Now, a disclaimer, a childlike faith is not one without knowledge. I mean, don't your children want to know how everything works and why? That's another word, interestingly, that Gabriel's starting to use recently, why? I was like, wow, he's already asking that, why? So children want to learn, children want to grow, children want to understand. A child is supposed to grow, so catechize your children, lead them in family worship. Spur on your children in your church, your families, those running around your neighborhoods. Spur them on in doctrine and depth of insight. Give away children's catechisms to those playing nearby. Luke 10, verse 21 says this, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Beloved, you are Christ's children because he has revealed himself to you, and you sing hosannas to the Son of David. Now don't be childish in worship, but do be childlike. Certainly, we must come before God in the congregation with fear and trembling before his holiness, but never without approaching the throne of grace with the confidence of the little one running into her father's arms or his arms in time of need, with joy and with thanksgiving. The Savior rejects pretentious, Pharisaical shows of self-righteousness, but he ordains and strengthens praise that comes out of the mouth of babes and even infants, out of your mouth. Take this with you and awake with it every morning, especially on the Lord's Day morning. Worship Jesus with a childlike faith, and worship Jesus with your children. Again, that is the message for you from this text this evening. Worship Jesus with a childlike faith, and worship with your children. Let us pray. O Lord God in heaven, we do thank you for this reminder that we are to approach you like a child. And you've said so much about this already in the chapters before. And children will not hesitate to praise you. They have an exuberance and an excitement and an energy that can be contagious. They have a quick trust and an easy desire to give glory and praise to you. So, Lord, let us be like children in how we approach you. Let us come humbly before you and sing hosannas to you boldly. And, O Lord, may we bring our children to you. They are yours. You call them to you to lay your hands on them. And you have ordained their praise. You have perfected their strength. So, Lord, we ask your blessing upon our worship. And we thank you. And we pray that you would guide us as we continue to worship you in this service, that we would praise you in spirit and truth with a childlike heart, and those children within our midst, as they are able, by your Spirit in ways we may not always observe, may they be worshiping you too. And we can trust by Psalm 8, verse 2, and your use of it, that they are. O Lord God, we do thank you that we do not have to be perfect. We do not have to come to you as if we're perfected men and women, but we can come to you humbly and praise you where we are. Through the blood of Christ, we do so. In Jesus' name, and all your people said, Amen. Amen.